WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Potential homebuyers are finding a mixed bag as they look for a house this holiday weekend. Mortgage rates rising for the first time in 5 weeks, and data showing that new and pending home sales have dipped. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
The big factor behind this is the Federal Reserve, which for now is holding off on cutting interest rates. But here's the positive news for anyone looking to buy a home or refinance on their current mortgage. The government lender Freddie Mac says it is still expecting rates to moderately decrease in the second half of the year.
President Biden and the First Lady will host a barbecue for active duty service members and their families later today. It comes as the president remains on defense over his poor debate performance and growing calls for him to step out of the race. It is election day in Britain. The Labour Party projected to win big and could oust conservatives control of government for the first time in 14 years. That as the country grapples with high inflation and other economic challenges. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Madison is striking down parts of Act 10, the state law that took away collective bargaining rights for most public workers. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost says parts of the law violate the constitutional right to equal protection because law enforcement was exempted. It's not clear exactly how yesterday's ruling will be applied. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram he's fostered black representation at the highest levels of government.
I picked a black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first black woman to be a Supreme Court justice. I've appointed more black judges, more black women judges than every other president in American history combined.
President Biden campaigns in Madison tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Be a storm drain hero. With all the rain Wisconsin's been getting, storm drains and catch basins can become clogged with debris. Clearing those can prevent localized flooding in your neighborhood. Ready Wisconsin advises only doing so safely. Use a rake or shovel handle to clear the drain. Do not wade into water. If you're unsure of its depth, if clearing the storm drain or catch basin does not work, contact your local public works department. There are ways to be safe with fireworks this 4th of July and ways to get hurt. UW Health's Dr. Jeff Potthoff spoke with Fox 6 in Milwaukee. He said that emergency departments typically see people with fireworks injuries who are not sober. Potthoff cautions that mixing a lot of alcohol with fireworks is just a recipe to have something bad happen. Potthoff also said young children should wear closed shoes to protect their feet from burns from dropped sparklers. An adult should avoid attempting to relight dud fireworks. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich, with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray, pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the four-game series tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning. Scattered thunderstorms are possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 84 with wind out of the south at 5 to 10. Tonight, thunderstorms likely 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms with a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, 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 hey. Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Tune in to the show Friday for my regular conversation with my good friend Sandy Williams. We'll talk about the 4th of July, my interview with President, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network, and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is July 4th, Independence Day, Thursday, 2024. Well, let this play just a little bit more, Mr. Zommers. The great John Philip Sousa and Stars and Stripes Forever. Let's give it a little bit more of a listen to open up the show.
Sure did. And let me just say, if you don't like playing some good old John Philip Sousa, you're wrong.
Great piccolo here, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. If you're playing the piccolo and...
It's a tough piece to play if you're a
piccolo
player.
It is a
tough
piece, so I get it if you're a little upset with it in that case. But if you play trombone and you don't love this, or you play percussion and you don't love this, what's wrong with you?
All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
Independence Day, everybody, across the state of Wisconsin, from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. Great to have you along on this Independence Day. Now, that's the way to start the show, Mr. Zombers. John Philip Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever.
Yeah, and I mean, anything else by him, also right. Fantastic.
One of America's great composers, great music. And yeah, I remember playing that back at the old Richland Center High School band. Our director, Lauren Jensen, probably the best time I ever. I played it a few times, but that one concert, I think it was like for Memorial Day or Veterans Day, and it was broadcast over at WRCO, by the way, one of our stations in the Civic Media Network. And people said that particular performance, that high school band under the direction of Lauren Jensen, they said it sounded like it was a recording just like we played right there. So it was one of the better performances that I was ever. I played the cymbals on that, so that's fun.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Those moments where the band is just totally locked in, yeah, and everybody, it just feels amazing. It's so great.
It really does. Hopefully you are enjoying your Independence Day today across the state of Wisconsin. Glad to have you along. Some new content today. We're going to go through a few things that maybe you did not know about the 4th of July. Some 15 fun facts about the 4th of July. We'll see how many of those we work our way through. And then later on in hour two, we're going to be rebroadcasting an interview that we did about a week ago, a week and a half ago, with General David May, the Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard. Really great guy. He also brought along one of his lieutenant colonels and also a gentleman from the EAA. So we're going to be rebroadcasting. It's a great interview, kind of bringing you up to speed on what is happening in terms of new activities with the Wisconsin National Guard, both Air and Army. And also what you may want to do to check out the EAA later this summer. We'll be broadcasting from there, as well as some of our other colleagues from Civic Media. And it's a really great activity if you've never been, for the entire family. It's more than just an air show, so stick around for hour two and you'll find out more about the Experimental Aircraft Association.
I definitely recommend listening to that and checking out that event. I haven't been, but I don't know. It sounds really awesome, especially I want to go with my niece, Gracie, because she's never seen anything like that. What if she really loves it?
Yeah.
And kids get in free. And you can learn a lot more about opportunities for kids. I'm not going to list through it because somebody who actually works there did and
Paul,
did it way better
Paul
than me.
We'll do it this hour too, yeah.
Yeah, so you should tune in for that. I thought it was really cool.
It was. It was a great interview, and we're happy to rebroadcast that today for our special 4th of July show. We're broadcasting, or recording this, rather, a few days ahead of time, just so Mr. Zombers and I can chill out a little bit and enjoy Independence Day.
At the 5th on the 4th.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But yes, it looks like the weather, as we record this, pre-record this, it's looking like weather should be pretty good. Maybe a chance of showers across parts of Wisconsin, but not an entire wipe out your entire day and evening type of thing. So whether you're grilling out, spending some time at one of Wisconsin's lakes or beaches and state parks, whatever you're doing, pause and reflect, as my former teacher Andy Spees is fond of saying, pause, reflect on those folks who had the courage to step forward over 200 years ago and declare the independence. And although not perfect, although still trying to get things right, I believe that the United States and our Democratic Republic is still the best thing we got going out there in the world today. So we're going to take a few minutes here and bring you, as Johnny Carson was fond of saying, things that you did not know. I did not know that. 15 fun facts about the 4th of July. Let's start with this. This one I knew because one of my favorite musicals that I've never been in the show, but I've seen it, I've heard it, I have the soundtrack. 1776 is a great musical. So I knew this because of that, really, and I guess maybe a little bit of my old history classes. But one of the greatest misconceptions of today, the 4th of July, lies in the name and date. It is widely believed that America declared their independence from Britain on July 4th, 1776. However, the official vote actually took place 2 days before, on July 2nd. And the declaration, the piece of paper, was published on July 4th.
I did not know that.
See, right there, right off the bat, something you did not know. So, I mean, by all accounts, if you want to be technical, July 2nd should be our Independence Day. But, I mean, who's going to change that now, right? I mean, it's...
Well, it's when the document's published. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But why not have two holidays?
Exactly right. Exactly right. A couple of days off, right? Another fact here. This is interesting. In 1958, a history teacher assigned a classmate, or rather a class assignment, to redesign the national flag as both Alaska and Hawaii neared statehood. Robert G. Heft, who was 16 at the time, designed a new flag using the old 48-star flag and $2.87 worth of blue cloth and white iron-on material. His design earned him a B-minus for his class project, which he challenged by sending it to Washington, D.C. to be considered by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. According to his obituary, Heft was one of thousands who submitted a flag design, but he was the only person who actually stitched together a flag and shipped it to D.C. Once the flag was selected, Heft's grade was rightfully changed to an A. His design became the official flag in 1960.
I also didn't know that.
How cool is that?
That's very cool that a 16-year-old designed the American flag as we know it today.
As we know it today. I mean, Betsy Ross, of course, the original,
right.
The original 13-colony flag. But, yeah, this one that we have today with the 50 stars, a 16-year-old. So who says kids can't get things done? Another fun fact about July 4th, Americans will enjoy, any guess, Mr. Zomers, how many hot dogs will be consumed today in America?
26 million.
So I would have said probably something similar. I would not have said this. According to the National Sausage and Hot Dog Council, right? First of all, I did not know there was a National Sausage and Hot Dog Council. But according to them, Americans are expected to eat 150 million hot dogs over the 4th of July weekend.
Wow.
150 million.
I mean, count me among them.
Right, me too. This is part of an assignment, or rather an estimated 7 billion that are expected to be eaten during the summer season from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Hot dogs, baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Also, only two men signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th proper. In 1776, Charles Thompson and the infamous John Hancock were the only two men who actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776.
Where were they 2 days ago?
I don't know. I'm not sure. The other 54 delegates signed over the course of the next month. So this was not just one meeting where everybody just got together, because some of these people live far away, other colonies, and it was very, very hot that summer. Maybe some people were ill. The flies were terrible, according to reports. But Charles Thompson and John Hancock. Show me your John Hancock. Write that big signature. Only two people to sign the Declaration of Independence on July 4th today in 1776. Back with more after this. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media for Independence Day 2024.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Incomparable Kate Smith and God Bless America. Nobody sings that song like Kate Smith.
Very true. Very true.
I love it. And I thought, well, maybe I'll cut it here. And I thought, no, we're just going to let that run because I think it's one of those songs that unfortunately we just don't hear enough anymore. And so on this Independence Day, July 4th, 2024, some great patriotic tunes celebrating this nation's independence in 1776. Mr. Zommers on the board, Todd Allball here behind the mic. Glad to have you along on this special edition of the show on Civic Media. Looking at some things you might not have known or that we didn't know about the 4th of July. So going through this list here, number five, there is something written. I didn't know this. There's something written on the back of the Declaration of Independence. And no, it is not a treasure. I know, it is not a treasure map written in invisible ink or anything like that. According to the History Channel, a simple message is written upside down across the bottom of the signed document that reads, quote, "Original Declaration of Independence dated 4th July 1776.
So it's like a certificate of authenticity.
Kind of right, yeah. Have you ever been to D.C. to the National Archives and seen one of the original copies of the Declaration?
Not yet. I'd like to, but I've never been.
I highly recommend it. It's a very obviously a secured room, special lighting, and they only open it. It's like a huge encasement and special glass and special lighting, and they only open it for like like 5 or 10 minutes at a time, and then they close it, they bring a new group in, open it. So, you know, they're trying to preserve it so that generations can see the original document. But it's powerful.
And so nobody tries to pull a Nicolas Cage.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. According to the same article, by the way, no one knows who wrote this or when, but it was believed to have been added as a label during the years of the Revolutionary War when parchment was frequently rolled up for transport.
So it'd just be like written on the top and you can pull it out of a tube and be like, yep, that's what it is.
Yeah,
put it back
in. Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Next factoid about the 4th of July. One delegate signed later recanted the Declaration of Independence. Richard Stockton, a lawyer from New Jersey, became the only signer of the Declaration of Independence. Try that again, Todd. Independence. To recant his support of the revolution after being captured by the British in November of 1776 and thrown into jail. After years of abusive treatment and his recanting of loyalties, Stockton was released to find all of his property destroyed or stolen by the British. His library, one of the finest in the colonies, was burned to the ground.
Man.
So he was captured, tortured, forced to recant. Say, if you recant your declaration to the colonies and pledge your loyalty to the king, we'll let you go back home. He did it and found out everything was destroyed.
Brutal.
Brutal, right? Yeah. Next factoid of the fourth. This is interesting. Particularly given the age of our two major candidates for president right now and most of Congress. Want to guess on this, Mr. Summers? What's the average age of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the average age?
37.
That's a really good guess. 45. Of the 56 signers, the youngest signers, Thomas Lynch Jr. and Edward Rutledge of South Carolina, were only 26. However, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania was the oldest signer at 70 years of age. So the average age, 45. But I bet you if you take kind of the median age, most of the people, it would have been closer.
Probably
to,
a little lower, yeah.
What you said. And finally, the Declaration of Independence was written on a laptop. Did you know this, Mr. Summers? Okay, not a modern laptop, but still. Thomas Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence on a writing desk that could fit over one's lap. This device, at the time, was referred to as, quote, a laptop.
Hey, man, those are useful.
Right? You could do a little bar betting this weekend. You know, did you know that the Declaration was written on a laptop?
And they'd be like, no, come on, shut right? up. I'd be like, nope, it's true. I bet my month's salary on it.
One more quick one. Men love fireworks. $1 billion worth. I love fireworks. According to the American Pyrotechnics Association, Americans spend more than $1 billion on fireworks each year. Out of this, only 10% of fireworks displays are set off professionally, which probably accounts for the estimated 12,900 firework-related emergency room visits across the country. I should laugh about that.
That tracks.
But if you're setting off fireworks this week, I love fireworks. But don't do it and drink. And if you have a dud, pour water on it. Don't try to light it again.
Yeah, seriously.
And just be careful out there. But it's a great weekend. It's one of my favorite holidays, the 4th of July, always has been. I wish all of you across the state of Wisconsin a very happy 4th of July Independence Day. Mr. Summers, happy 4th to you as well.
Happy
and remember,
to you.
As my friend Tom Jackson likes to say, if you have a 5th on the 4th, don't go 4th on the 5th. Think about it. Happy 4th of July. More best ofs after this. Little Ray Charles, take us out. Stay tuned. News, weather, and sports on Civic Media is next. Happy Independence Day, everybody.
In liberating strife, who more than self, our country loved, and mercy more than life.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Potential homebuyers are finding a mixed bag as they look for a house this holiday weekend. Mortgage rates rising for the first time in 5 weeks, and data showing that new and pending home sales have dipped. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
The big factor behind this is the Federal Reserve, which for now is holding off on cutting interest rates. But here's the positive news for anyone looking to buy a home or refinance on their current mortgage. The government lender Freddie Mac says it is still expecting rates to moderately decrease in the second half of the year.
President Biden and the First Lady will host a barbecue for active duty service members and their families later today. It comes as the president remains on defense over his poor debate performance and growing calls for him to step out of the race. It is election day in Britain. The Labour Party projected to win big and could oust conservatives' control of government for the first time in 14 years. That as the country grapples with high inflation and other economic challenges. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Coast Guard is closing two parts of the Mississippi River in western Wisconsin. The affected areas go from Whitman, Minnesota to Trumbull, and then from La Crosse to the Quad Cities. The Coast Guard says the water is too high from recent rains to be safe for people or their boats. Public support is slipping a bit for new wind and solar energy projects, 75% compared to 80% according to the Pew Research Center. Advocates say people need to understand climate change is happening right now.
We can point to the drought that affected our farmers last summer, and then in stark comparison, the intense rain and flooding events we've been experiencing this spring and summer.
Kieran Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning. Scattered thunderstorms are possible by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 84 with wind out of the south at 5 to 10. Tonight, thunderstorms likely 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's that's unbelievable. Really impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Hope you all are having a fantastic July 4th holiday weekend. Don't worry, I'll be back at it come Monday. You won't want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
But now wait a minute. I'm talking about America. Sweet America.
Happy Independence Day, a little bit of a God Bless America there. Great to have you along on this July 4th, Independence Day 2024. Mr. Zomers on the board. Give you a little bit of a best of, as Mr. Zomers and I are technically off today. We've pre-recorded this show, but we thought what we'd do is take you back to a show not too long ago when Jane Matt Nair on air every morning from 10 until noon. She and I took a trip up to northern Wisconsin a little bit earlier this summer. Found ourselves in Eau Claire at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar and talking to a local author there and also a great public school teacher. So we're going to replay this interview with the wonderful Ken Szymanski. It will leave you feeling happier, better, and more positive for having heard it. It's a great way to celebrate Independence Day and just feel fantastic. So we're going to play this interview from Ken Szymanski. We pick it up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin with Jane Matt Nair and myself. Enjoy the interview. I love our guests so much because I was right before the break. I said, and I know this, but I said, well, come on back and join Jane and I. And Jeff from Shorewood, listening to WAUK, says, oh, no. Todd, your guest is, quote, joining Jane and me, unquote. If Jane weren't with you, you would say, I know that. I didn't have enough coffee. So it's a good thing I have an English teacher.
Yeah, I'm off duty right now, so I won't call you on that. And we're very conversational here.
We appreciate that. But
you would have flunked if it were a course. Yeah.
See, well, that wouldn't be anything new if you look at my report cards from high school. But more importantly, Ken, so you've been an educator. You're an English teacher. Do you teach at Memorial?
I teach at DeLong Middle School.
Oh, DeLong Middle School. Yes. All right, very good. So that's a tough age, right?
It is, but it is also an explosive time for creativity. It's kind of a fearless time for creativity, so it's a great time to work with creative artists because they haven't reached that point where they've recognized their own limitations, and sometimes that's where you create your best work.
Wow, that's cool. Have you seen in your time in education, I mean, when you started, there were no devices, you know, and since this electronification of people and kids in particular, where they're bringing their devices in school. Have you seen creativity go down, or do you think that in some ways these devices have helped creativity?
I see it both. I think it just makes you more extreme in what you already are. So if you're a creative person and you use these technological tools, you can become more creative. Mm-hmm. And it can work with negative personality traits as well. If you're a racist person, you become more racist. Like everything is reinforced and you can build upon with all the connections you can make now with other people that we just couldn't make when we were younger.
I'm curious, Ken, as far as what kids are reading and what you taught 25 years ago and the books that you included when you were teaching then, what really resonates with kids now?
Reading has really dropped off with the kids today because they have so many distractions and so many other things. They're so video orientated with 30-second clips from TikTok.
Yep.
And it's really hard for them to have the attention span to sit with a novel.
I bet.
How has that changed how you teach?
It's something we're still searching for solutions on. So I'm looking for just more short stories, shorter pieces as building blocks. But there are still things like The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton. If it's old enough where it's not trying to be current, and by the time something that's trying to be current comes out, it's already old.
It's old, yeah.
Yep, things move on so quickly. So if you can go back to find those classics like The Outsiders and surprisingly Greek mythology. I mean, these kids who are so apathetic to reading, and you experience these stories that are 3,000 years old. It's so far removed from our time that it's like a novelty to them.
But the Greek mythology is so screwed up. I'm sorry. Those people needed therapy. There was some weird stuff going on with Greek mythology, boy. But it's like a soap opera.
It is, right? And I think it's comforting. Like, these people are more messed up than we are.
it's
feeling
like
good about ourselves.
An ancient Game of Thrones, maybe, or something. I don't know.
And that works every year. It just never
goes
out of style.
That's so fascinating.
Yep, but the more recent stuff, it's like the books that were popular 3 years ago are hitting. That's old news already.
Wow.
So at what point did you did this start at the same time as going into education? Did you become a writer yourself and say, I don't want to just teach, but I'm going to create and put this into book form?
And that's one of the reasons I love teaching middle school, is that's when I became interested in becoming an author. And in seventh grade, I wanted to write a book. And I talked about that fearlessness and just you're so naive, you don't know any better, and that's when you can do great things. I want to write a choose-your-own-adventure novel. So I got a spiral notebook and sat down at my parents' kitchen table and wrote a book called Escape from Cell 7346 about a man named Jeff Remington who is wrongly accused of a crime, and he's placed in prison and he has to escape. And there's only one route with all the choices to get out. So I still read that to my classes on the first day of school.
And you wrote that in middle school.
I wrote it in middle school, and I've read it to every class I've ever taught, and no class has ever made it out to escape.
Out.
So the book is undefeated since 1983.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing.
Yep. So it's had over 100 challengers and no winners.
But I think you brought up something really important, and you've mentioned it so many times too, Todd. I had an English teacher in seventh grade, or maybe even fifth grade, Miss Zarin. I will never forget. And we got assigned a word, and we had to write a story around the word that we selected. My word was mustard. And yes, and now it would not no longer be. But anyway, so I wrote a story about that, and she came back and said, you know, you have a way with words. You should. Oh. This is something you should think about. And that is what gave me the spark to think, I could do something with this. I could make something with this. That's what's so important about having a teacher that cares, that you can connect with.
Yeah. And the same thing happened to me. I teach at the same school that I went to middle school at.
Oh, wow.
So there are those teachers who, and you never forget it. Like
ever.
You can recall
never,
that
ever.
So clearly, who said, hey, you have a good voice. You are a good writer. You've got talent. Keep going with this. And that was so motivating for me. I joined the school newspaper in middle school, and I became the editor. I wrote my first article. It was an album review of Synchronicity by the Police.
Oh, wow.
I talked about this band has such a great future. Yeah. And then they broke up after I wrote the article. But Sting is still going strong.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I was partially correct.
Jane Matner, along with myself, and we're talking with Ken Szymanski. He is a local educator and also an author here in the Chippewa Valley in the Eau Claire School District. Listening on WAUK back in Jane's home station in southeast Wisconsin, Sue texting in saying The Outsiders is one of my favorites. Have tried to get my daughter, age 25 now, to read it with no luck, and just saw it's been made into a musical and is now playing in New York City.
Yes, and I heard it's phenomenal. So I
really
hope that would come to Eau Claire and the Pablo Center.
Yeah.
And we can make a nice field trip out of that, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So talk to us a little bit about your latest works here. What do you like to write these days? What sort of genre do you like to write? And what's your latest work?
Well, I used my school newspaper experience in middle school to write for the Leader-Telegram. And so I did concert reviews for them. So I was doing album reviews in middle school, and that turned into concert reviews for the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. And I was going to music festivals, rock fest, country fest. And that just taught me about professionalism and word counts and meeting deadlines. I'd go to a concert till 1 in the morning. The article would be due at 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's all just good practice.
You're like Albert writes under a deadline.
Yeah. And then Volume 1 magazine started here in Eau Claire. It's an arts and culture magazine. So that gave me a regular gig to just write about. And the whole idea of the magazine is people thought Eau Claire was such a boring place. They wanted to highlight all the great stuff that was going on here so people knew about it, and then also create things that were worth talking about and getting excited about. So writing for them gave me a regular gig to explore my hometown. And then I always felt kind of bad about myself. I never got out of my hometown and explored the whole world.
The bigger world.
Yeah, but that opportunity, like that, being a townie, or whatever you want to call it, became an asset in that field because I knew this town so well.
For sure.
Writing about it
came
very naturally to me. And that extended into my book. So I just really liked writing about people. The way my uncle described it is you write about people, if you walked past them on the street, you wouldn't think twice about them. But they have a backstory. And I believe that everybody has a story. Every kid has a story.
Yes.
And all these stories are related. So when we shine the light on certain people that are overlooked and their story comes to light, it reminds people of other stories that are overlooked, and their own stories and their own pasts that are overlooked.
I think one of the things Jane and I have found, and I found this before, trivials that go around the state of Wisconsin, is that sometimes it's not always the people that quote-unquote make it on the huge national scale that have the biggest effect on people's lives. It's the hometown heroes that use their gifts and talents to change lives locally that has the biggest ripple effect.
Yep. And so in writing about in music festivals, sometimes I would get to call the stars and interview them by phone. And that was a dream come true to me, to speak with George Thorogood or wow. Peter Frampton or Mike Reno of Loverboy. But as I've gotten older, I've taken more value in interviewing people who never get interviewed. These celebrities are interviewed all the time. Sure. Their stories are told all the time. But these other people are just as interesting, if not more, because they're not used to being in the spotlight.
Well, and everyone has challenges. Mm-hmm. Everyone has obstacles. It's about how you deal with the challenges and the obstacles and where you come out on the other side.
Yep.
Yeah. About 4 minutes left in this segment. Ken, do you have a little clip you could read for us here? A little,
sure.
Excerpt.
Excerpt. Thank you, James. See, this is why James is here, to help me out.
This book, Home Field Advantage, has 19 different stories. And one of the things I do, I read stories about teachers on the morning announcements at our school.
Oh, my gosh, I love
it. So instead of always talking about ancient people and the lessons they can teach us, I said, let's write them about our own staff members. They just said, sure, it just has to be a minute or less, and it has to end with the phrase, make it a great day.
All right, here we go. Ken Szymanski.
Good morning, Falcons. This is Mr. Szymanski with a few words of wisdom. Not long ago, a former South student, now 19 years old, came back to see his old school. In addition to visiting former teachers, reminiscing about the past, and seeing old sights, the student had a mission. He walked into Mr. Kent's room. After some small talk, he hesitated, then offered an apology for his disrespectful behavior in class a half decade earlier. Mr. Kent thanked the student for the apology, but quickly moved on. He told the student to stop looking back. Focus on the future, Mr. Kent said, and do the right thing from here on out. There are three lessons here, Falcons. One, don't act in a way you'll regret for 5 years straight. Two, if you do make a mistake, own up to it. And three, when someone is big enough to apologize, it's time to shake hands, move on, and make it a great day.
Right there.
That's
Ken
fantastic.
I mean, more of that. More of that, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we need more of that in the world, Jane.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the teacher said, by the way, I still never regretted flunking you. But
what's done is done.
Right. It's a long time ago.
I mean, that's just fantastic. And people, if they want to find this book, it's called what now?
Home Field Advantage, so it's all about the value of just what you two do. It's just finding the value here in Wisconsin life and in small-town life and how everybody's got a story. And it's available at volume1.org.
Volume1.org. Mm-hmm. People can pick it up. Well, can you stay around? Because I want you to read another one of those.
All right.
Because we need more of that in the world.
Yes, that's what I always try to do. Let's keep it positive and just try to counteract all the negativity that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, Jane and I, you know, part of our task is to take on the daily news, I mean, the current mm-hmm. events. And unfortunately, a lot of the headlines are not always unifying and happy.
Yep.
And we have to report on that. But I think it's so valuable what you do for young people so that they're not always, we hear it, Jane, right? I mean, we hear from adults that they no longer listen to the news because it's too overwhelming.
Yeah, they can't stand it. It's depressing. I want to have a happy life. I don't want to have to swim in this. That's where we swim. But I think, again, it's about the balance. It's yes, there are a lot of things that we can disagree upon. Ultimately, there are more things on which we agree and support.
About a minute left, Ken. Do you hear from your students? Are they overwhelmed by the news of the day?
Yeah, it seems like they're callous and numb. The last 10 years or so, as crazy as it's been, that's the only world they know.
Right.
And so they don't know of a calmer time. So to them, they're
kind
of hopeless about the future and overwhelmed by the present and just trying to live in the moment and prepare themselves for the best personal life that they can.
Well, I'm thankful I have a great teacher like you and several others in this great school district of Eau Claire that keeps it positive and keeps it going. I'm going to come back and talk more with Ken Szymanski. I'm going to talk more with our co-anchor here, Ms. Jane Matner, as we travel around the state. Don't forget, if you want to help me beat Jane, or if you don't, just don't text it at all. But the word...
Onomatopoeia.
The word is Woods, W-O-O-D-S, Woods, the text to win Civic Media Contest. Text it now to your Civic Media app. Back with a final segment here at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart?
Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location in beautiful downtown Eau Claire, where the sun has come out. It's a sparkly day. Pat Kreitler has the pontoon boat ready to go. We're going to hop on after the show, I think, at some point here. We are here at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar in downtown Eau Claire. We appreciate all their hospitality.
You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
A special July 4th Independence Day edition, picking up our interview with Jane Matinair and myself from earlier this summer up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin at Shift Cyclery and Coffee Bar with the wonderful Ken Szymanski, local author and public school teacher. Enjoy the rest of our interview here on this special edition of the All Ball Show.
I'll get him anyway. The important thing is we are joined by Ken Szymanski, Jane Matinair, and I. He is an educator here and also a local author. Ken, what do you want to talk about here? Your other book piece of work here.
One of the things I want to do is writer in residence for Eau Claire, which is like the poet laureate of the state of Eau Claire, but you're just open to all genres, is getting people to recognize the stories they may have looked around them. And a lot of times that's right in your own family. Those are the easiest ones to overlook. And I kind of realized that as I was writing my parents' obituaries that I didn't really know them until I sat down and did that. And that's just too late. But my aunt, who passed away at the age of 98. Before she passed away, we did a series of interviews. She was a bartender of Leon and Lil's Bar in Thorpe, Wisconsin for 52 years.
Wow.
They ran this bar like a supper club. She was the local icon, and this was a very famous institution. So I got to interview her, and I wrote this book called Sit Down and Stay a While. It's about her 52 years behind the bar at Thorpe, Wisconsin.
That's wonderful.
And wow. We did a book release party in Thorpe, and people were lined up out the door to get her autograph on this
really?
Book. And so many people just really resonated with this because they loved being there. And it's and the tagline of the book is, without great American bartenders, there would be no great American bars. And it's the people behind the bar that set the tone and make that place what it is.
But even to take that to a further step, I think everyone should be interviewing their older relatives.
Absolutely.
Sit down and find out what their stories are while you still have mm-hmm. time, because once they're gone, those stories can go too.
Yep, even if it's just to sit and record it and have that recording, and if you want to write something about it, that's great, and if you want to publish something, that's one step further, but at least do the interview, and you'll be glad you did.
Yep.
And how cool is it that you did that while she was still able to have all those people come in line? Because too often, to kind of pick up on Jane's point, we have people that show up for big funerals,
yep.
but they're gone already. And to
yep.
do something like this while the person is still there and receive yep. that love, I just think is amazing.
Yeah, to hear all the accolades yeah. firsthand. And I sat next to her and I signed books. They really wanted her autograph, but I signed them too. But to hear person after person come through and say, do you remember me when I was
oh,
in your bar when I was a
wow.
kid? And you were so nice to me and I never forgot how kind you were to me. And
that must have just filled her with so much joy.
It was
I
just
can't
incredible.
Even imagine.
Yep. And then you see your family member. I only saw her as an aunt, but, oh, this person is a brother, a sister to someone. She's a colleague. She's a member of the community.
She was
She's
a friend.
A friend. And you see the person, the whole 360-degree view. So,
as an educator, Ken Szymanski, you see so many kids have gone through your classroom in all these years. What do you think the best thing is or the best two things that you teach your kids or that you tell them to come through your classroom?
I hope it's that you just realize that your experiences are worth something and your story is worth something and your path is worth writing down and trying to figure out through the written word, and that you can figure out more by writing than just by stewing about things or thinking about things. It can be a tool for therapy and self-discovery and motivation, and it can really help you. And you're just one story, but all these stories are connected. Yeah. And the more you share your story with others, the more connected we become.
Everybody has value.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is valuable. And what a great way to encourage kids to embrace that, because I think especially at that age in middle school where you have so much self-doubt, and at least I was the most self-conscious person on the planet, it just to reassure them that you're good, you're going to be good.
Yep.
You have value. It's going to work out.
Yep, yeah. You're on the right path. On the right path. Just trust yourself.
Ken Samansky, author of Home Field Advantage. Got one more for us here before we go?
Sure. Father's Day is coming up, so we'll end with an middle school announcements, this time about fathers. Good morning, Falcons. This is Mr. Samansky with a few words of wisdom. When South Middle School's 7th grade math teacher, Mr. Hurlbert, was 10 years old, he loved hanging out at his cousin's farm. Although it was a long 2.5-mile bike ride down dangerous country roads, his parents let him go on one condition: be home before dark. Well, one day Mr. Hurlbert was having so much fun on the farm with his cousins that he lost track of time, and they played well into the night. No problem, he thought. His dad could drive out the car, throw his bike in the trunk, and give him a ride home. His father answered the phone and told him, "Tough luck," and hung up. So Mr. Hurlbert biked the scary country roads by the dim light of the moon. The occasional traffic barreling past was bad, but it wasn't the worst part. Along the way, there was a farmhouse with untamed, unchained dogs that terrified Mr. Hurlbert when he biked past in the daytime. At night, they became a pack of invisible, vicious hounds, chasing, barking, yelping, and nipping at his heels, while little Mr. Hurlbert could only pedal for his life. He made it home physically unscathed, but psychologically scarred, and entered the house to see his father sitting comfortably reading the newspaper. His dad simply looked up and said, "I bet that ride's easier in the daylight, huh?" By not bailing him out, Mr. Hurlbert's father taught him this simple but important lesson: plan ahead. That way, rather than having a terrifying night, instead, you can make it a great day.
Wow.
That's great.
Ken Samansky, educator, local author. The book is called Home Field Advantage. They can find it where, Ken?
At the Volume 1 local store, or at volume1.org, or at kensamansky.com. The link is there as
and
well.
And Mr. Zomers will have that, our show notes, so you don't have to spell it.
And all right, great. volume1.org, one is spelled out O-N-E.
Right, O-N-E, very good. Ken Samansky, thank you so very much for taking this time, and thank you for everything you do as an educator. Thank you for being inspiring and giving us something positive.
All right, well, thanks for having me on the show. It was a great time. Appreciate
it. Really,
it
was a pleasure. It.
Jane, we're on the road. Also, thanks to Pat Kreitlow as well for being here.
Hope you enjoyed that interview there with Ken Samansky, public school teacher in the Eau Claire School District, wonderful author, along with my colleague, Jane Matinier, from earlier this summer. Wow. I mean, if you don't feel better after that, I guess I just can't help you. And it's encouraging to know that we have so many great folks like Ken Samansky who are encouraging our students, who are making the next generation better. So many thanks to Ken Samansky, Jay Matt, Aaron, and all the great people at Shift for hosting us. Stay tuned. Hour number two of the 4th of July Independence Day special is straight ahead. We have General David May and many other guests of the Wisconsin National Guard and also the EAA. Going to be a great hour. Don't miss it. It is a special July 4th edition of the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. And I'm joined by host of Max Inc. Radio here on Civic Media, our favorite Friday friend, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.